This is Christine Hoover from GraceCoversMe.com, and I want to welcome you to the By Faith podcast, where each week this season I'm talking with a guest about the ins and outs of friendship. As I wrote about in my book, Messy, Beautiful Friendship, friendship isn't easy for anyone. It takes time, intentionality, and lots of grace. And sometimes we have to navigate complexities and hurts in friendship that leave us uncertain and even crushed. I'm right there with you, and my guests are here to help us think through it all. I hope you've been enjoying these episodes on the subject of friendship. As I've talked with my guests and as I think about friendship in my own life, it's made me very thankful for the friends in my life and the way they've encouraged, challenged, and helped me. I hope that's happening for you as well as you follow along this season. One of my favorite things to do when I'm thinking about my friends is to think about how I can encourage them, especially how I can point out how they are a blessing to me or to others, or to help them see how God is using them, because they can't always see it about themselves. As my husband says, no one is suffering from too much encouragement. So I want to give you a little gift today to help you drop some encouragement into the lives of your friends. Linked in the show notes of this episode are some downloadable prints you can use as cards, and each one is about friendship. Maybe you could use them to write someone you're just getting to know, or maybe you want to send a little love to a long-distance friend you've known for years. Whoever it is, download the cards today and send some encouragement their way. Today, my guest on By Faith is Janny Ortlund. Janny is married to Ray, who is a pastor in Nashville, and together they are proud parents and grandparents. Janny joins me for a chat about how friendship changes in the empty nest years. We talk a lot about crossing boundaries, whether it's an older woman pursuing a younger woman in friendship, a younger woman pursuing mentorship with an older woman, or getting to know those who are different from us in nationality or race. Here's the thing, though. You may think, I'm not an empty nester, so this episode isn't for me. The truth is that Janny just exudes wisdom, and everything she says will benefit you in whatever life stage you're in. So friends, here is my conversation with Janny.
Well, thank you, Janny, for joining me on my podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. This is an honor.
It's such an honor for me to get to talk to you. I love you and your husband and what you're doing, especially because it seems like you have such a heart for younger pastors and pastors' wives and investing in them. How did that develop?
We got old. That really helps. As you grow older, my husband and I are, well, he'll be 69, I'll be 68 soon. And as you grow through years of ministry, decades now, 4.5 decades of ministry, you appreciate what the couples ahead of you did for you. And you feel the weight of that legacy, and you don't want it to die with you. You want to pass it on to the coming generations. So that's how it happened. We, 10 years ago, we joined Acts 29, which is a bunch of, well, used to be till we came on board. It was a bunch of young radicals for Jesus. And the network is growing in maturity and age now. But that helped us as well, Christine, get to know younger pastors and wives.
Well, I appreciate that, because not all older generations do see the need, I guess, to invest in younger couples, but younger pastors and pastors' wives are so thirsty for mentorship and help navigating such complex roles.
I really understand that myself. We have a mentor couple, 15 years older than us. They were the first couple we served under when we graduated from seminary way back in the 70s. David and Carolyn Roper. They live in Idaho right now. We don't get to see them very often, but they pray for us, they care for us, and they're 15 years ahead of us. So we can kind of see what life could look like for us out there, the challenges, and how to discipline our lives now to reach where they are. So we have someone passing on to us. We need to keep it going and pass on to others.
Well, thank you for doing that. Could you introduce yourself a little and tell us about your family and where you are?
Yes. right now, Ray and I are in Franklin, Tennessee, right outside of Nashville. Beautiful spot. We've been here for 14 years. Ray is a pastor, full-time lead pastor at Emmanuel Church in Nashville. We have four grown and married children, all loving the Lord. We're so grateful and serving Him in various ways. And our 14th grandchild is due in September.
Wow.
So we praise God for that.
Yes.
And I'd be glad to talk about my kids, but that would take up the whole podcast. So I'll just tell you quickly, Eric is a professor of Old Testament in London.
Oh,
at
wow.
Oakville Seminary. Krista, our one daughter, and her family live in Wheaton, and she and her husband serve in their local church there in Wheaton. Dane is vice president of Crossway Bible Division in Wheaton. And Gavin, our youngest, right now is doing a postdoctoral research grant. He's writing for the Creation Institute at Trinity Seminary, but he will be done with that in a few months and back to pastoring.
Wow.
Or teaching. He's not really sure which. Mm-hmm. I just thank the Lord for children who love Him.
Yes.
I don't take that lightly, Christine. I know that there are some of my peers whose children are not yet, and so I'm really grateful and praise God for that.
Yes. There's so many things I could ask you about being a pastor's wife or having children that you've raised or walking with the Lord. There's so much I want to ask you, but I think we're going to focus today on friendship and just your perspective. I think having a perspective of someone who has gone through different seasons of life, it's so helpful in so many ways. But I would love to know, now that you're in empty nest years and you're a grandmother, when I look ahead to those years, Janie, I think I'm going to have all this time and I'm going to be able to really invest in friendships then. And I would love to know from you, what is the reality of friendship in the empty nest years?
That's such a good question, because you grow into it from where you are right now, Christine. I forget how many children you have.
I have three boys that are about to be 15, 12, and 10.
So you are in those busy,
yes,
busy school, sports, church, all of that, home development. But you grow into it. They usually leave the nest one at a time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they all fly out, but not usually. And so I grew into the empty nest years over a period of 6 years, 6 or 7 years, which really helps because it's a big change. Mm. Your identity feels different. Mm. Who am I? I used to be so important in these little lives and then these teenage lives, and now they're gone. They connect through email and phone and on Mother's Day, and sometimes they come home for Christmas if they can make it. Mm-hmm. But it is very different. I thought I would have a lot more time. Now, it is true that I can manage my time a little bit more easily without little ones in particular. Mm-hmm. The thing I enjoy the most is the quiet time in the early morning of the hours. I like to get up early. I always did, even when we had little ones. But I don't have to keep listening if someone's waking up or needs me for breakfast. So I really appreciate that. But I also find that as you get older, your relational network grows. Mm. So there are more relationships outside of your family to keep warm and intimate and connected with, as the Lord calls you to. Plus your family grows. I mean, just when you think of our family now, 24 of us, birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, visits, they all live out of town, trying to invest in these children and grandchildren. I feel that I'm busier than I've ever been, but in a good way, in a really good way, that I can go before the Lord and say, Ephesians 5:10, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. What will please you this week, Lord, with how I live my life, who I invest in, those kind of things. Look forward to it. It'll be great.
Well, I am sometimes looking forward to it, but I do hear sometimes that women say when they move into the empty nest years, they lose those natural connections that of making friends through their children. Mm-hmm. But you're saying that you have felt a wider range of relationships.
I have. Perhaps it's because I'm a pastor's wife, yeah, and I like to be very involved in the church. And there are other women there who have married children that live out of town, grandchildren coming to visit. So we like to exchange. You know, when my kids were little, I'd meet on the playground or at parent-teacher conferences or right, birthday parties, talk with other parents. Who's your pediatrician? What homeschool curriculum are you using? Those kind of things. Now it's, oh, do you have a playroom for the grandkids to come to? What do you do when they come? How do you stay connected with your grandkids? And what books are you reading? Mm-hmm. Who are you meeting with? Are there younger women in your life? Those kind of questions that I can entertain with women my age. So I think if we're willing to keep looking, pursuing, engaging, which I believe is a biblical mandate that we are to do that, then friendships continue and develop mm-hmm. naturally in these years.
So how do you, I call this stewarding the abundance, that we have so many relationships and so many needs. You know, for me, with my kids' ages, you mentioned earlier, this is a time where I am experiencing the abundance of opportunities and relationships. So how do you take that Ephesians 5:10 verse and practically apply it to the many relationships that you have mm-hmm. and know these are relationships that I do want to keep warm and thriving and intimate?
Yes. Well, for me, it's kind of simple. If someone asks, I take that as from the Lord, generally speaking. If someone pursues me, I want to say yes. Unless I have a firm and strong in my spirit that I sense is from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So that's one way. If someone pursues me, that's an open door. They want to be together.
Are you talking about everyone? Are you talking about people that you consider close friends or family? But,
that's how I make friends, I guess. That's how okay. And there are some that I pursue as well. There are some that have been with me through ministry. One friend, Melinda, I've known since she was, well, I won't tell you her age. I've known her for 46 years, and almost as long as I've been married. And she's been a friend. She and her husband have been friends through the years. So our pursuit can fall away because we feel we know each other so well. We always have Christmas Eve together and Easter dinner together. They moved here to Nashville to help us with our church. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing how, all the ways they're on our board at Renewal Ministries, which is our ministry outside of our church where we speak and write and travel. But, you know, it's not easy to be a friend when you're busy. So we have made it a point to try to connect each Friday. Each Friday, whether we're in or out of town, we know where each other is. We try to give a text or a phone call, and often we get to walk together and just share prayer requests. Mm. Another very deep friendship, I would call her another best friend, is Anne from a former church in Augusta, Georgia. And we can't see each other as often, but we do, as a couple, spend a week together each year and renew our friendship that way. So she's just a text or a phone call away. We kind of had a mini health emergency in our family this week, and she was right there. You know, do you need me to come? Drive all the way from Augusta to Nashville is 7 hours. But that doesn't come on its own. It comes because she asks, I ask. We kind of go back and forth. Hey, I need this. Can you pray? Oh, what do you need, by the way? How can I help you? I don't know if that goes to the heart of your question, Christine.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. I love how you're speaking about intentionality and purpose and also being open yes. to people who are inviting friendship with you. And that uh-huh. you're looking for those opportunities as well.
Yeah.
As a pastor's wife, and especially because you do get to travel and you are involved with Acts 29 and younger women there, what do you see as the big picture of how women are overlooking opportunities for friendship
Well, I would only have to speak personally. I haven't thought of that in terms of, you know, when we gather for our global gathering for Acts 29, how to see it globally. But what I do see personally is young women who come to me lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get it. They just want to have a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And because friendship takes work, I don't think that there are any accidental friendships. You know, C.S. Lewis, of course, says the biggest friendship exclamation is, what? You too? Mm-hmm. It's a recognition that there's someone else who cares about the same things as you, loves the same things as you, even is going in the same direction. But as far as younger women and what they're missing out on, I don't know if I have a good answer for that. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it a lot other than in loneliness. So I could tell you what I would say to them when
yes.
they meet. What I tell them is friendship, I think, takes three things. You have to be willing to give the time. Just as when you need something, you want that person to give you her time, you have to be willing to make time in your calendar. It takes transparency. A friend sees you at different times in your life, knows you better, understands the inner workings of your heart and mind. What you're struggling with, you're free to share with her. So time, transparency, and then just to keep it with a T, maybe I would say a trail to blaze. You need, for a friendship to last through the years, you need to be going the same direction. You can't expect others to come along with you if you're not going anywhere. You need to be going somewhere. And my deepest friendships have been the ones who've helped us minister here at Renewal Ministries. My four best friends are all on our board at Renewal Ministries. That means so much to me. So I encourage a younger woman who comes to me and says, I'm just lonely. I don't have any friends. I encourage her in those three areas. Why don't you clear your calendar, you know, for 2 hours a week? Where you are asking the Lord, you're going to pray the first few weeks and say, Lord, I want to develop some friendships. Show me who's feeling like I am, who's going the same place, who can I trust with my heart? And then ask that person out. See if they want to go see a movie or, I don't know, get a cup of tea together. It's what I love to do. And then see, pursue them. I mean, there's so many examples of friendship. I think of biblical examples,
mm-hmm.
and then my non-biblical example, Anne of Green Gables and Diana.
I mean, love that those books.
They were great. And then, of course, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You probably never heard this hymn. I sang it growing up in the 1950s in the Baptist church that led all six members of my immediate family to the Lord. It's so precious to me. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Mm-hmm. No, not one. No, not one. So Jesus shows us how to be a friend too. He gives us time. He's very transparent with us. Mm. And he gives us a trail to walk with him straight to heaven.
Mm.
So I encourage if a younger woman, when she comes to me with that, and then I say, let me be your friend for a little bit. I don't know if we can be friends for years, but over these first few months, let's pull in a couple women, meet together and see what the Lord does.
Hmm.
And let's be friends for a while.
Are you meaning that you try to connect other women
yes.
with one another?
Can yes. you? Because I need younger friends.
Yes.
I if not, I will stay in a rut.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute I stop being willing to grow is the minute I won't change anymore.
Mm.
I don't want that.
Can you talk some about that, the generations, being friends with women of different generations? How have you cultivated that, and what has it taken on your end to mm-hmm. do that?
Mm-hmm. One is through discipleship groups. I meet with seven women, so there are eight of us, each Wednesday night. And at this point, they're all women from Emmanuel. And we meet for a year. It's just what you would consider a discipleship group. It's kind of like a Bible study, but a little bit more intense. We talk about, we study the Bible together, but we go deeper as far as intimacy, accountability. So that's one way. Most of them are younger. A few are in my generation, but most of them are younger. And then from that, develop relationships that last. I'm meeting with a younger woman tomorrow, and we're thinking of developing my discipleship curriculum into a book. And we're going to think about working on that over the next few years.
Yay! I would love that.
So, you know, we're going to spend a lot of time together, and mm-hmm. she's a good friend already. The third way that I have to make sure that I'm intentional is by initiating into younger women's lives. Right now, I'm teaching first and second grade Sunday school with two younger women, and they're becoming really good friends, Rose and Emily. Rose was in my discipleship group 2 years ago, and now we teach Sunday school together. We pray for each other and share prayer requests. So she was here for Easter. I can't be intimate with everyone, but if I'm not seeking to be intimate with someone, I think there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. I have to pursue that, Christine, because frankly, no one really needs a friend. In a sense, you don't need a friend physically mm-hmm. to survive. You don't need a friend financially to make it. Mm-hmm. But I think the Bible says we do need a friend. Mm-hmm. You, of course, having written on friendship, would know, and I believe you speak very beautifully about this in your book, about the wounds of a friend and how faithful those are. Faithful mm-hmm. are the wounds mm-hmm. of a friend. So we need to pursue that, even though in one sense we don't really need it. I mean, we can talk ourselves, I'm too busy. I can't find anybody like me. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was just talking to a younger woman in our church today about she in some ways has imposed isolation on herself because she feels insecure. She mm-hmm. feels that maybe no one would truly want to be her friend. And so we talked about the importance of initiating that, of her taking that step out. And she could receive a response that she doesn't really like. But we have to be the initiators, as you're saying. You're saying, I am intentional and I am pursuing these things because I know that people and God's community are a gift to me that He wants to use to grow us and
yes.
to change us. And we need that.
Yes.
We need God working through people.
I would encourage your younger listeners to pursue it. Look for an older woman that they would just like to get to know. I used to do that when I was younger, and sometimes women didn't have time or interest, but others did, and they became so dear to me. What I would do is sometimes with another younger friend is just say, we've been admiring you from a distance. Well, what older woman doesn't love to hear that? And we would just wondering, would you be willing to be friends with a younger woman? We won't take all your time, but could we take you out to tea once a month and maybe just over this next year, kind of set a time limit on it so she doesn't feel like, oh, I can't handle this. Mm-hmm. And then see what develops at the end of the year. If you wanted to carry on more, you could, but she will probably get you into her home and you can see her that way and she can get to know your children. I mean, but it does take pursuing. Mm-hmm. It does take an invitation. Mm-hmm. An openness, that mm-hmm. that willingness to invest your time and to be transparent and to go on that trail together of womanhood. Mm-hmm. You're older than I am. You're down the road farther. I need what you have. Help me, please.
Mm-hmm. I find, Janie, that when older women have the same insecurities that the younger women have. The younger women think, oh, the older women don't want anything to do with me. You know, they're too busy or they're further down the road and they have it together. And then the older women are thinking, oh, the younger women have it together and I don't have anything that they would really want. Do you find that in your church as well, that people feel that way?
I haven't so far, their congregation is somewhat younger. Mm-hmm. So I grab all the older women and say, okay, she needs you. She needs you. Yes. Go after them. Yeah. I haven't really, but don't you think, Christine, insecurity, we all struggle with that.
Yes.
And we just have to say, okay, Lord, is this feeling, this self-doubt, this self-recrimination, oh, there I did it again, or oh, what would I have to offer? Is that your voice speaking into my spirit? Or is that my own insecurity or even from Satan mm-hmm. to keep me from something very beautiful
yes.
and gospel-centered, yeah. gospel-driven? Because friendships, Jesus says in John, what is it? You would know, is it John 15 or 12 when he says, I give you a new commandment and I call you friends?
Yes.
Jesus talks about friendship.
Yeah.
So I think that we can just kind of cycle down into a black hole of insecurity. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. Nobody would need me. And so we miss out. And yes. the whole body misses out.
Yes.
And I believe we're disobeying scripture, where the older women are to teach the younger women mm-hmm. what is good. Mm-hmm. Friendships are really good. Mm-hmm. They're wonderful.
So what would you say to an older woman who's listening, who she's maybe thinking, you know, I do want to invest in a younger woman. What should she do?
I think the same thing as a younger woman. Pray. For a while, start looking. Who looks fun to you? Who looks cute and spunky that you just need a little bit of her spunk? Maybe she'd come over and help you with your computer as you helped me get logged on with you, Christine. I'm such a technological idiot. And, you know, oh, I just need some computer help. If I baked cookies for you or made a casserole you could take home for your dinner tonight, would you come over and help me with my computer? Or, you know, it's spring cleaning and I can't do this as much with my older body. I'll pay you $50. Will you come over and help me one morning? Or I need to walk every day. And my doctors told me, you know, my hips are going bad. And would you be willing if I drove, would you walk? If I drove to you, would you walk and let me help push your babies around the block a few times? Just those kinds of initiation. I just say, dear older sister, don't lose out. Mm-hmm. Don't miss out on it. It's so wonderful. There are so many wonderful relationships waiting for us as Christian women. Mm-hmm. I think of so many in the scripture. Of course, mothers-in-law should be really good friends. This is a different topic, but and I don't want to go into family relationships too much, Christine. But if you can, help build the bridge of friendship between mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law. If you're the daughter-in-law, build it to mom-in-law. If you're the mom-in-law, build it to daughter-in-law. It takes some bridge building. That's okay. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. Then you get to cross over to it and be a friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also I'm thinking as you're talking about cross-cultural relationships, cross-racial relationships, that mm-hmm. in some ways all of these principles you're saying, they apply the same, that we want to be bridge builders and initiate and go toward other people. How have you cultivated not mm-hmm. just generational relationships, but across racial lines, across socioeconomic lines? And that sometimes those can have their own unique challenges. So I would love to hear how you have done that.
Well, I haven't done it as well as I would like to and hope to in the years ahead. We lived overseas for 4 years in Scotland. And so I still have some friendships there. We cultivate them by when we travel to speak in Britain, trying to set up times with them, put a day or two aside for us to get together. And now with the internet, we can stay in touch mm-hmm. beautifully. I play a game with one of my friends in Scotland, just to keep in touch with her. Mm. One of those word games on your phone. And I think, Lord, is this worth the time? Yes, it is. It takes me 3 minutes a day, you know, and I get to connect with Bryony there in Bankery, Scotland. So part of that, again, is the time. Other times people come to us. We have some Africans from Cameroon who are in our church, Sarah Ayanama is a dear friend of mine. Again, the same philosophy of time, transparency. I've needed her in my life at a very painful time in my life. It was about 14 years ago. In both ways in my life, not together, but in ministry, we had a hard hiccup in our ministry experience. Sarah, from her own garden, hand-washed greens, kale and other greens, and brought turnip greens, brought them to us and prayed over us. She lives an hour away, but she just prayed over us, and we just wept, and we just needed to cling to her. That meant so much, and it forged a friendship. We're still friends. Sunday, she came up. She calls me Mama because I'm that much older than she is. But Mama, I love you. And I say, Sarah, I love you. Time, transparency, being more than the pastor's wife, just saying, Sarah, I'm so hurt. I'm so lost. Help me. And then that same trail in our church, it's good because the trail we're blazing together is Emmanuel. Seeing it birthed and growing and setting a good foundation for the future. So when we lived overseas in our church, we travel internationally, Christine, so that helps. Mm-hmm. I've developed a new friendship with a pastor's wife in Australia, and we share prayer requests about once a week just through text. I mean, it makes it so easy. But I know that the next time I see her, I'll be a little bit caught up on her life. Mm-hmm. And that helps. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned being more than the pastor's wife. And since you are a pastor's wife, and I have a lot of listeners who are pastor's wives, I have to ask you about how you do transparency as a pastor's wife. What have you learned about that practically that has helped you to, I think a lot of people think, oh, I can't be transparent because I'm the pastor's wife. But I don't think that's true. I think you're saying that's not true. So how do you do that?
The best way to answer that is by not confusing being transparent with vomiting out the sins of my soul and slandering other people or gossiping about them. Because the tendency is you know things, and sometimes those things really hurt. Mm-hmm. And so you want someone to be on your team. You want someone to understand. So I pray, set a guard over my mouth and a watch over my lips from Psalms. Oh, Lord, I never want to drag a friend with me into the mud. I do want to be transparent by saying, I'm really struggling. I'm struggling with a relationship at church. I can't tell you who. I can't tell you details. But I fear that I might be on the verge of sinning with letting a bitter root develop, or not loving this person as Christ loves me. I mean, that's when we find out if we really love, when it's hard to love someone.
Yes.
That's what love is. It's patient. It's kind. It bears all things. It puts myself in that person's position rather than, you don't understand what you just did, what I go through every week and for this church, whatever the thought might be going through our minds as pastors' wives. So there's a difference between being transparent and sinning. Mm. I don't believe that transparency is a sin because Jesus was very intimate with his friends. And I think Paul was very intimate with his friends. I think of other biblical characters. David and Jonathan were very intimate together. So we can be intimate, but let's, as pastors' wives, guard everyone's reputation as much as we want ours to be guarded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're saying what I have found to be true as well in my life, that I can say, this is how I am experiencing this. And you don't need to know the details of even what it is, but I am struggling with bitterness. And I need your help because I don't want to be bitter, or I'm hurting and I just need you to pray for me. And that's vulnerability. We can do that. We can be transparent that way, but it keeps it on our hearts and rather than focusing on other people.
Yes.
So do you have any last nuggets of wisdom that you would share about what you've learned about how to be a good friend to others?
I hope I have been a good friend. I don't know. We should probably ask them. I guess the only thing I would say is for me to be a good friend to my friends means I am to them what I want them to be to me. Hmm. I'm willing to give. I'm asking from them. Really, it's the golden rule.
Yes.
Do unto others. But so many times I'm in a friendship for what I receive, for the benefits it brings me. And then when the road gets rocky, it's easier to bow out.
Yeah.
But to be a really good friend means to give them what I'm asking for as well, which is total acceptance, unconditional love, Christ-like humility and love for each other.
That is so good. I could keep asking you questions all day long. I appreciate so much your wisdom. It's just, I'm thankful that you're willing to share it with us.
Well, thank you, Christine. The Lord bless you and your ministry. I'm grateful for you.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Every Wednesday, the day after By Faith releases, I always jump on Instagram stories to answer questions from the week's episode. What do you want to know or talk about after listening to Janie's wisdom? Find me on Instagram at ChristineHoover98 and let's chat about it. Join me next week as I talk with Ruth Jo Simons, who you may know as the wonderful talent behind Grace Laced. Ruth is going to initiate a series of episodes I'm going to do where we're going to dive into the harder parts of friendship, like what happens when we experience hurt or when we hurt others. So meet me here next week, and also don't forget to download your friendship cards. I link to them in the show notes, so go grab those now. Okay, friends, thanks so much for listening to By Faith. Have a great week, and until next time, keep walking forward by faith.